I want to begin this morning by asking a question of all of you, hopefully some participation. What differences would you expect between relationships, between people in a boat club or a PTA or some other group, and relationships between people in a church? What differences would you expect in those relationships, if any? Anyone? Kathy?
I think probably in church, people would be more mature to themselves.
Okay.
And might act differently in other groups, other places.
So you would expect that hopefully at least people in the church would be more just like open about themselves and honest and true to themselves, is what you said. Jenny? Okay, so just to repeat so everyone can hear that hopefully, I mean, if you're in a boat club or whatever, people are there typically for their own interests, whereas hopefully we're here for others in the church, each other. What else? What else would you expect differences to be? So you're saying we, at least, shouldn't be different in any place, right? Okay, so we shouldn't change, but is there anything else that might be different about the relationships that we might have? Alan?
In a boating club, you have to pay a membership to be in there. Church, you go in there.
Yeah, now, we appreciate your offerings, but we don't have entrance fees or anything like that. That is true, yeah. Okay. You know, I think there's probably... We would expect some difference because of just what we're gathered here around, maybe in the church. Like, I think, you know, as Jenny said, we're here for a very specific purpose together that we don't always share with people in every other sector of our lives. But this is kind of a question that we're going to be talking about this fall. We're going to be looking throughout the next six to eight weeks at our new vision statement. And a vision statement is something that hopefully is a picture of who we are and who we want to be. Who are we specifically as the church? What does that look like? What should our relationships be characterized by? These type of questions are what we're going to ask. And this morning we're going to look at the first and kind of main statement in the vision statement that we currently have. And that is, we are striving to live the gospel life together. Now, I've tried to, on the front of your bulletins, you have this circle diagram, if you just look at that for a second. This is my best way right now of depicting our vision statement as it is. There are four parts right now to our vision statement. And I think the first part is that big circle around the outside. We are striving to live the gospel life together. And then the other three parts of it are like these circles in between, describing what is a part of that gospel life. Okay? So this morning we're going to talk about that first line. We are striving to live the gospel life together. And I would suggest that I think this is a good start and a good summary, because I think that the church is fundamentally, by definition, a group of people who live the gospel life together. And I want to focus specifically this morning on that word gospel, because I would suggest that this community, unlike any other community that we might be a part of, at the heart of it is the gospel, the good news of Jesus. It is the beginning, the middle, and the end of church life. And this morning I'm going to call that the calling of the gospel, the binding of the gospel, and the pattern of the gospel. That's what we're going to look at. And we're going to be looking at Philippians. Throughout the fall, we're going to be jumping a little bit back and forth in the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the church in the city of Philippi. We're going to have Acts 2 read every week, but we're going to be jumping back and forth in Paul's letter to the Philippians. And this morning, we begin in chapter 1, verse 27. And I think in this beginning section, Paul speaks of the gospel as a calling. He says, "Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." So what we're calling the gospel life, striving to live the gospel life together, Paul is calling a life worthy of the gospel. Now, for the sake of clarity right off the bat, I thought maybe I'm going to invite some more participation and ask you, and I'm going to pull the whiteboard over as long as I didn't take it back to the classroom this morning, this week. I'm going to ask you to kind of, in a word or a phrase, describe the gospel to me. And I'm not necessarily asking you to give me the whole gospel in a word or phrase, but maybe if we have a bunch of people who have a word or phrase to put it together, we might come up with the gospel. So, you know, what is the gospel in a word or phrase?
Love.
Love? What else? Sorry.
Neighbor.
Alan, what did you say?
Construction.
Oh, instruction. I was like, I don't know what you mean by that. Okay. What else? Commitment, the word of God. I'm just going to abbreviate. What else? Any other words or phrases?
Forgiveness.
Good one, honey. What else? Okay. Any other words, Katie? Truth. What else?
Salvation.
Hope, Alan? Reward. Hope and reward. Put this over here. Okay.
Teaching.
Put that with up with instruction. Anything else you want to add? I think that's a good start. I'm going to move this back over here so you can see the board, the video projector. I think that's a good start. I think I would describe the gospel in one phrase as a story about God saving the world through Jesus. So that kind of combines a lot of the things we have there. But it implies that we have this world and we have needs, right? I think people have need of forgiveness, so we have that up there. We need to be healed, because we're broken. We need life, because we're on the path, both spiritually and physically, towards death. And so we need life. And that's, I think, what the gospel is about. And it's something that is done by Jesus. The gospel is, before anything we do, the gospel is something that God has done through Jesus. And Paul talks about it as a calling, and the calling is really to gather together around Jesus, by which we enter into community with God, and that's where we receive these things, like forgiveness and healing and life and forgiveness and fruit and truth and hope and patience and a lot of these things we said. It is by gathering around Jesus that we find those things and receive those things. So if the gospel is about Christ's saving, forgiving, healing, life-giving work, what would be a life worthy of that? Live a life worthy of the gospel to which you've been called. I think it would be one, very simply, of living a life of submitting to that salvation, of being saved. A life of receiving forgiveness and forgiving. A life of being healed by God and seeking the healing of others, of receiving life from God and offering and inviting others into that life. I think that's a life worthy of the gospel. In other words, it is not a life that we live for ourselves or by ourselves. Participation in this kind of life requires community. Love requires community. You can't have love without community, or at least another person. Patience, things like that require community. And that's the calling. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So that, Paul writes, whether I come and see you or I'm absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. That sounds an awful lot like we are striving to live the gospel life together, doesn't it? The gospel is a calling to us. The gospel is also a binding. And in chapter 2, Paul gets into that a little bit more. In verse 1, he talks about the gospel in chapter 2. He says, if then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, he's saying this is what the gospel is about. And in verse 1, he describes the gospel life. And then in verse 2, he calls us to gather around it. He says, then make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Paul is kind of like calling Christians, it's like gathering children around a Christmas tree where presents are stacked up. He says, look at all of the great things God has done for you and offered to you in the gospel. Now gather around it together. Be of one mind. Be together. Be side by side. The gospel should be what binds us together in the church. And that is what I would say is the difference probably in our relationships with each other and any other relationships we might form in other settings. The binding in this community, in our relationships, is the gospel, is the story of Jesus, where God is saving the world through him. As for some more discussion, I'll ask you, what are some of the things that bind people together in our culture? So when you see different groups or are part of different groups, what are some of the kinds of things that bring people together outside of the church? Family. Yeah, definitely.
Shared interests.
Good. What was that?
Eating.
Yeah, absolutely. Food. What else? Suffering. Shared experience of suffering. What else? Our workplace. So what we do. Yeah. Death, so like a funeral, people will come together because they knew that person. Celebration, someone say, so difference, and like specifically like, you know, Christmas, bring, you know, people come together on Christmas and whatever, Thanksgiving. Community, what forms those? Are you talking about like the community in which we live, like geographically? Yeah, good. What else? School, yeah, you go to the same school as people. Anything else? The mall. Yeah, that's true. People come together because they are going to shop together. Carol? Funerals? Yeah, again. Sports teams? Yeah, definitely. That brings us together. Brings about 100,000 people together at a time. Music? A musical preference? You know, you hang out with people, listen to music, go to concerts, things like that. I think, aren't a lot of these things kind of what a lot of churches, you choose a church based on these social categories. Musical preference, you go to a church because you like their music or because your family went there or because we didn't talk about like socioeconomics. We tend to gravitate towards people who are of a similar wealth level as we are. We also didn't talk about this, but I think race and skin color tends, you know, technically our culture is, the United States is an integrated culture, but I think practically, it's not always, and you can look around, incidentally, and notice that. And I think a lot of times our churches are bound together by some of these social categories that we're talking about. The binding of the church, however, is not a social thing. It is a spiritual thing, and quite literally the Spirit that brings us into the gospel and brings us into relationship with Jesus. The church should be bound together by something that transcends social categories and social glue, something bigger and more. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote one of maybe the great books of all time on Christian community, it's called Life Together, he writes this about why God allows us to be in community. He says, you know, really the church is supposed to be in the world, you know, sharing the gospel and bringing hope and everything to other people. He says, it's really a gift that God even allows us to have community with each other. And he says, this is why. Christians need other Christians who speak God's word to them. They need other Christians as bearers and proclaimers of the word of salvation. He writes, "The goal of all Christian community is to encounter one another as bringers of the message of salvation. As such, God allows Christians to come together and grants them community." I was chewing on that this morning. I thought, wow, that's why God allows us to have community, so that we can speak the gospel to one another. That's powerful. That's more than just Christians being together at the same time in the same place. As on page 5, there's a quote from N.T. Wright. He says a very similar thing. Fellowship, our fellowship is not about serving tea and coffee to one another. It is, our fellowship is based on an experience and common participation in the gospel. I've said before that in this church, it is my dream, and I think a reasonable one, that every single member of this church should be able to share the gospel with someone. And usually I talk about that in mission categories, right? So we talked last week about all the fragments, and we need to go into those fragments to be able to share the gospel. But, I mean, this is even more fundamental. We need to, every one of us needs to be able to share the gospel, because we all need to speak it to one another in our community. We need to hear the gospel over and over again, what God has done for us. That is the binding of the church. The gospel, finally, is a pattern. So Paul has called us to the gospel life. He's united us around the gospel. And now he instructs the church in Philippi based on the gospel story. We live the gospel life together by living like Jesus among one another. It says in verse 3, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves." You hear that? "In humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." And he goes on to describe how the gospel is a story of Jesus doing just that, of humbling himself so that others could come to him and to God. So the gospel is the pattern for how do we live together? We live like Jesus among each other. I alluded to this last week. It is so important for us as a church to be together. On Sunday morning at worship, your voice needs to be here, singing out these gospel songs to one another. There's power in hearing each other's voice. Sing these truths about amazing grace, and about the holiness of God, and about the love of Jesus. There is power in hearing each other's voices sing that. We need to be here together to sing those songs to one another. We need you to be here to sing those songs to us. We need to be together in other types of community. And I emphasize, as usual, focus groups. Because I truly believe that focus groups are not just a program, they are the fundamental unit of living the gospel life together. You can come here on Sunday morning and not get to know anyone and not be known by anyone. In a small group environment, that's when we live life together. That's when we get into each other's lives and what's going on and who we are and what struggles we have and what God is doing and what God has to say to us specifically. Focus groups or small group community is not an option for living the gospel life together. It is a necessity. What I want to suggest this morning is that being together on Sunday morning, when you're figuring out, should I be in a focus group? Should I come to worship on Sunday morning? It is not just a question about you. It is not, do I want to be refreshed this week in worship? Do I want to sit through a sermon by Pastor John this morning? That is not the question. The focus group question is not a question of, am I willing to give up, one night every couple weeks so that I can grow in my faith. It is a question of whether I will be there on Sunday morning to sing the gospel to others and be a voice in that choir. To be in a focus group is a question of not only will I be built up by others, but will I be there to build up others and be a bearer of this message of salvation if someone else needs to hear it that night? I shouldn't say it's not this or this. It is both. The gospel pattern is being in community to build up and be built up, to hear God's word and to speak God's word. It's more of a co-op than a traditional business. I spoke last week about the increasing fragmentation of our culture, where we're just, you know, we don't have a lot that connects us other than these little groups here and there. And I think a lot of that is a function of consumerism and the consumer ethos in our culture. Every day we are told time and time again that we are consumers. And in a consumer relationship, it's not a two-way street. So for instance, we go to Meijer for groceries. This is not an advertisement for Meijer, which just happens to be where we go. My relationship with Meijer is not a two-way street. When I go to Meijer, I am the one who is served, and they are the ones who are there to serve me. I do not think, Meijer can't have really any expectations for me. I'm not obligated to Meijer, right? But I expect that they're going to be open when I need milk or whatever millions of things that they have. In a church, we are both the served and the servants. We cannot have one without the other. The church is not a consumer product. The gospel is about community. This is not a place where you can just come and be served. If you come here and are served, we are expecting that we all are becoming servants together as well. So you sometimes feel the need and the desire to worship. And you expect that other people are going to be here singing and worshiping with you. What about when someone else feels that need to worship? It's your responsibility as a fellow servant to be there for them, to sing that gospel to them when they need to hear it, and to speak that word of salvation to them when they need to hear it. Living the gospel life together is not about just being in the same place at the same time on Sunday morning. It is a commitment to the community above and beyond anything else, the community of Jesus. As we saw in Acts 2 in the early church, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And it says, and day by day, they gathered in the temple together and they broke bread in their homes with glad and generous hearts. That's what the early church did. That's what the church does. It lives the gospel life together. When I was a sophomore in college, it was on New Year's Eve, I was at a Christian conference with a group from the college that I went to. And on that particular evening, I had just finished having a really difficult conversation with someone. It was hard. I was a little emotional about it. And I went back up to my room, and I was standing outside the door, and I just wasn't ready to go in yet. I just wanted to compose myself. I didn't really want to talk about it or anything with the guys I was sharing a room with. And in those few moments that I was standing outside my room, a large figure started walking down the hall, 6'8". His name was Adam, and Adam, the year before, had kind of taken me under his wing, and he had said, let's live the gospel life together. And we would have lunch together and dinner together. We would do things on weekends together. We would sit in our rooms and talk about the gospel and Jesus and the Bible together. And it just so happened that at that very moment, he was walking down the hall to return a book that he'd borrowed or something to someone in my room. He came up to me and he saw that I was not in a really great state of mind at that particular moment. And he said, let's pray. And he put his arm around me and he prayed the gospel over me. He didn't just pray in a generic way. He said, this is who you are in Christ. This is what God has done for you. And this is what God is going to continue to do for you as you follow him. And he prayed that over me. And we just stood there in the hall together for a few minutes. And that was one of the most powerful moments where I learned what it meant to live the gospel life together. In the very middle of life, to speak the gospel to one another and to be there for each other. Who is that for you in this community? How many people could you look around and say, I know them. They know me. I know their struggles. They know my struggles. I know their passions. They know my passions. I know their story with Jesus, how they came to know him and love him and be transformed by him, and they know my story with Jesus. Who's prayed for you and spoken the gospel to you in that time when you needed to hear it most? That is what the church is, and that's what we need to be. We are striving to live the gospel life together. Let's pray. Lord God, it is such a blessing that we can share just life with anyone, let alone share this new gospel life that Jesus is doing in us together. Lord, may we not reduce and demean the community that you have given us into some consumer thing that we just take from when we need it. Lord, let us enter into it with joy and gratitude and appreciation. To be served and to serve. To receive and to give. To listen and to sing. Lord, help us to live the gospel life together. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.